Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
The struggle of a life abroad comes a full circle when one starts a family here. After seeing yourself through all the visa hassles, if the child is born holding a citizenship, as a parent, you feel that you have instantly elevated the child's life in terms of providing it with the best opportunities. However, raising the child away from its extended family and away from the home country comes with its unique set of challenges, and that's the topic of my podcast today. My name is Isha, and this podcast is called Culture Chaos. Having spent all of my life as a proud Mumbai girl, my mind sort of went for a toss when I moved abroad, and since the past 5 years, I have been traveling from one country to another and have lost count of how many cities and houses I have moved. Culture Chaos is what the state of my mind is. All my experiences of life away from home, trying to just make sense out of things. Parent wants what's best for their child. And for immigrants and expats, one of the best things we think we give our children is the privilege to be born with citizenship of the said country. We feel that being here will instantly open all the doors to them which seemed closed for us as immigrants. We envision a wonderful schooling system, good healthcare, and an elevated standard of living for the child, and hope that there will be absolutely nothing to clip the child's wings when it comes to the child achieving everything it wants. As picture perfect and dreamy as that sounds in theory, we are also immediately hit with confusions, concerns, and fears about raising a baby in a completely foreign land. Logistically, it works out fine because the system is so beautifully laid out that the medical help you get fills the void of the ancient wisdom and all the tips that your dadis and nannies could possibly give you when it comes to childbearing and raising. But some conceptual fears haunted me. In my years spent here, I have met hundreds of Desi parents who joke about the child becoming a Westerner. Films do their bit to cliche immigrant Desi parents, and while that makes for hilarious movies, deep down inside, we all deal with dilemmas about giving the child a perfect balance of culture, values, and getting him to respect and love you the same way you did to your parents. It is an even bigger challenge to help the child assimilate in Western life so that the child doesn't develop confusions and face an identity crisis during the formative years of his life. Being a millennial, I decided to look for fellow millennials whose parents were immigrants and expats like myself. I wanted to hear stories from their childhood and try to find a common ground for parents who are currently raising young adults. In my quest for finding the correct balance, I realized that the key was to start under the premise that it is a difficult road, not just for the parents, but also for the child who's going to be battling with identities all through its emotionally formative years. The decision to bear and raise the child in the said country is of the parents, and while the child gets the privileged life, it also needs to be helped with finding a common ground.
Two things that I think my parents did really well is that they were, even though it took a little bit of time for them to understand certain concepts or traditions, American traditions, they were at least open and learning about it and listening to it. And then another thing that I think that they did really well was still keeping our Indian roots a part of our lifestyle, but not forcing it down our throats. It was just a part of our lifestyle, you know. We kept it really casual, which I think really helped us a lot.
This is Trisha. Trisha came to US at a young age with her parents who had stories similar to ours. She was 5 years old when they moved. Having spent her childhood and adult life in the US, I found a few things common between her and me in terms of having recently married, our love for Bollywood and Desi culture, and our dilemmas and confusions. While culture chaos was a common theme between us, our backgrounds were completely different, and I enjoyed hearing her story. As someone who grew up as a child of immigrant parents, she believes that it is the small things that are key in helping the kids assimilate. She shares an anecdote from her early school days.
My parents were really supportive in it. Like something small, like there was a pizza party at school and I was just so nervous and I didn't know what pizza was. I had never eaten it before. And I was kind of like, you know, just feeling out of place and trying to, you know, have friends. And I was the only Indian girl at my school at the time. I came home and I was crying because I was like, I don't know what pizza is. I didn't eat it. I remember having just like Ritz crackers that day in class. So like literally that night, my parents were like, okay, we got to get you to eat pizza. So they ordered pizza literally right away. And that was the first time I had pizza because I cried at school and I came home and I told my parents about it. So in that sense, they were really open to us being as American as possible.
Trisha really commends her parents for giving her the best of both worlds. Her parents too, like a lot of us, face dilemmas for giving the perfect balance to their children. I could really relate to instances she shared with me about them celebrating all the Indian festivals together as a family. She talked about bhajan tapes going on during the morning hours in her home and her entire family getting together every evening to read the Hanuman Chalisa. These practices, she said, were a part of their lifestyle and she never felt it to be forced. She said the key was to make things subtle and not force anything on them as children. She agreed that making things a part of their lifestyle was key.
And in general, my dad was just like really big on just like Indian and Bollywood, just like news and gossip. And so many times he would just like quiz us on like silly things and like he would quiz us on like geography and then he would be like, you know, tell me the entire like Kapoor family tree, you know, like who's related to who, or like we'd be watching like an old Hindi movie and he'd be like, you know, name me that, you know, who's the hero in the film. So he was just really good at just making sure that we were up to date with both Bollywood news and in general just American politics and mainstream stuff as well. So I think I do really credit them for giving us this like really mixed lifestyle, and I think it's really shaped my sister and I.
Children learn by example. They learn and absorb what they see at home, and nothing influences them more than the life their family is living. So as parents, one does not need to put any special effort in teaching children their culture. But when it comes to assimilation into the culture of the country one is in, where does one really start? Trisha shared another fun story of something her parents did to help her and her sister when they were starting their life here.
I'll never forget our first Halloween. My parents invited just like a few kids from the neighborhood into our home to like figure out what Halloween was. And my mom literally sat them down and was like, okay, so what do? You know, where do we get costumes from? And I remember my dad had got me, I was one of the ninja the Ninja Turtles for Halloween. And so he had, like, picked up a Ninja Turtle outfit for me, so I had worn that to school. But they literally took out the time to invite a few kids into our home to be like, what do we do? What is trick-or-treating type of thing, you know? So it's just so cute and funny that they did all that now that I just look back at it.
She has several stories and anecdotes starting from her childhood to recently when she got married. And she talked about how as the years went by, she continued to embrace her cultural roots and is very proud of her identity. She envisions passing her love for the culture she belongs to her future generations.
Right now, it's like I'm on probably another level where I'm really, really seeking out my Indian roots. You know, I think after you get married, you understand them even better. And now I'm trying to, you know, I'm going to try to follow my religion a little bit more, maybe just even be a bit more spiritual or just be more aware, because now I can't just, like, have my mom or my dad, like, reading the Hanuman Chalisa for me. It can't be that easy anymore, you know. I need to learn it for myself so that I can pass it along to my kids. So I think right now the need for me to, like, be even more Indian is even greater, because I know I want to pass it to my kids. And I'm always telling my mom that, like, you know, I want my kids to learn Bharatanatyam right away, you know, or be set up right away. But I want my kids to go to Hindi class, you know, religion class, and I want them to do Bharatanatyam or Bhakti, like, right away. So that's what I'm already envisioning for my kids, you know. I mean, I was like, they need to watch at least one Bollywood movie a week, you know. So, like, I'm already thinking of that lifestyle. So I know that I'm actually taking a little bit of a pivot, and I want to really, like, refocus on my Indianness and my roots and my heritage so that I can kind of prepare myself and really get well situated in the next few years before I think of having, you know, kids of my own.
After my conversation with Trisha, a lot of my queries about starting a family in a different country and a different culture were put to rest. The gifts that our culture has given us are something that we will cherish for generations to come. The more we assimilate and the more we grow, the stronger our identities are going to be, and maybe there will be less culture chaos. The moment we define our identities clearly for ourselves, we will be able to pass it on to our children with ease, and they will share this pride and love for their roots just like we do. That's it for today's podcast. A special shout out to Trisha from Brown Girl Magazine for sharing her beautiful story with us and for being a part of this conversation about cultural dilemmas while searching for comfort and navigating life away from home. Stay tuned for my next episode. This podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or your preferred podcast app. You can find more content for Culture Chaos on Twitter and Facebook. I would love to hear back from all of you, so feel free to write back to me on my email. You can also leave your feedback in the form of a review on iTunes. Thank you for listening. This is Isha, and you're listening to Culture Chaos.